a joyful and busy morning here. That's awesome. Thank you, Dee. As we turn now to Scripture, I invite you to turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter, near the end of Moses' life. Hear the word of the Lord. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I am commanding you today, by loving the Lord your God, walking in his ways, and observing his commandments, decrees, and ordinances, then you shall live and become numerous, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away to bow down to other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life, so that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and holding fast to him. For that means life to you and length of days, so that you may live in the land that the Lord swore to give to your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And in the book of Matthew, from the Sermon on the Mount, we hear our Savior's thoughts on anger. You have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, "You shall not murder, and whoever murders shall be liable to judgment." But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you will be liable to the council. And if you say you fool, you'll be liable to the hell of fire. So when you are offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gift. This is the word of the Lord. Pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. All right, this one seems pretty straightforward. The passage in Deuteronomy takes place when the Israelites' wandering days are over, and Moses is just trying to cover all of his bases because he knows that death is near. It seems like good advice. Look, guys, we have been wandering the desert for 40 years, and before that, there was that whole slavery thing, so could you please just not screw this up? Just do what you're told. That's all you have to do. Choose life. Follow the laws of God and have life. Disobey and perish. Not a hard decision. Choose God. Choose God's rules, and it's all going to be fine. Okay, so we got that one wrapped up, right? Except it's never that simple with God. Because the laws of God are incredibly difficult and demanding. And following the rule of God, walking in God's paths, means following the teachings of Christ. In theory, sure. But of all the complex issues at work in the Sermon on the Mount, the section concerning anger is possibly the most challenging of them all. Anger is on the same level as murder in terms of judgment? Seriously? I can appreciate that getting along is important, but it seems pretty profoundly crazy to say that muttering epithets at the person who cuts you off in traffic is on the same type of judgment-worthy trespass as murder. I mean, come on, God, a little perspective. Maybe God doesn't really mean it. I mean, sure, if we were perfect, if we were, say, the Son of God, then sure, it's reasonable to expect that we might be able to keep the anger to a minimum. But God knows we aren't perfect, not one of us. So we can probably just squeak by on that one. And yet, God doesn't issue suggestions. God issues commandments. And this particular command, to be reconciled in our hearts with all of our brothers and sisters, this one matters. It matters particularly because it relates to a theme Christ talks about a lot, that we are meant to love one another. No questions asked, no exceptions made. Just love one another. All the other commands, decrees, and ordinances can be boiled down to the one command: love one another and love God. So, while there's not a jury in this world that's going to put a little anger on the same level as taking someone's life, Christ is demonstrating just how vital it is that we love one another. Anger and murder both accomplish one thing in common. They dismantle the humanity of the victim, robbing us of the chance to see one another truly as children of God. The act of murder, the act of getting angry at another person, both blind us to the purity of God's light that is in each of us, and instead turns it into an ugly question of value, worth, and transactions. When we're angry, we're focused on ourselves and become blind to the humanity of the person on the receiving end of our hostility. When I get angry, I get complete tunnel vision. Whether I'm technically right or not, anger completely disrupts my ability to focus on anything else, least of all, serving God. My anger is about me, my feelings being hurt, my ego being bruised, not about the person at whom I am angry, who may in fact be a little bit of a jerk, or might be another sometimes wounded soul trying to figure out this life. It doesn't matter. Because when I'm mad, I can't see them as the child of God that they are. I only see them through the lens of my anger. I only see them in relation to myself. The key, then, is to change how we see ourselves and how we see those around us. In his text, the prophet, the poet Khalil Gibran writes, "You often say, 'I would give, but only to the deserving.' Well, who are you that men should rend their bosom and unveil their pride, that you may see their worth naked and their pride unabashed? See first that you yourself deserve to be a giver and an instrument of giving. For in truth, it is life that gives unto life, while you who deem yourself a giver are but a witness. And you receivers, and we are all receivers, assume no weight of gratitude, lest you lay a burden upon yourself and upon him who gives." Love, as modeled by God, is not meant to be transactional. We can't earn it. We don't deserve it. And yet still, we receive it. And we can attempt to mirror it out into the world. We can strive to be worthy of being vehicles of God's love by taking seriously the command to prioritize reconciliation. Christ comes to remind us of the law of love, and it isn't easy, not by a long shot. But I think Tom Hanks put it best in the movie A League of Their Own when he said, "It's supposed to be hard. If it wasn't hard, everybody would do it. The hard is what makes it great." Okay, so he was talking about baseball, but I do think the same idea applies here. Part of what makes the life of Christ and being one of his followers so extraordinary is the fact that it isn't easy, but it is wonderful. A few weekends back, several of us went along on a middle school retreat to Bloomington. The overall theme of the weekend was that Christ commands us to do difficult things, including loving our enemy and striving to be reconciled to them, those who have wronged us and those whom we have wronged. Seems like a really big concept to ask middle schoolers to get, because it's a big concept for anyone to get. But many of our kids were right on board. This means loving big picture enemies, war criminals, genuine bad guys, and more microcosmic villains, the bully at school, the coworker we are convinced has it in for us. The question a lot of our kids rightly turn to next is, okay, but how? How do we love these people? Does that mean we have to be best friends with every jerk we meet? Not exactly. The point is that we have to try our best to be reconciled to them. And reconciliation is a difficult idea. It does not mean excusing the behavior of people who are cruel. It does not mean choosing to be a victim in the name of self-sacrificial love. It means seeing God in others, even others that we don't want anywhere near us. As the modern-day theologian Shane Claiborne puts it, it's about looking into the eyes of the one you like least and seeing the one you love. It's about seeing Christ everywhere, seeking justice, and working hard to truly honor one another as children of God. It's about praying for our enemies, not against them. Just as Christ suggests, it's about what you do out there and in here, not just what you do in here. Reconciliation to the world, to one another, and to ourselves. Coming to church to learn about God is important. Living like church out in the world is imperative. Try to imagine, just for a second, if you greeted every annoying person in your life with the same warmth that you greet your church family. Imagine giving everyone the benefit of the doubt. We must first be reconciled to our brothers and sisters so our hearts are truly ready to serve. Sometimes we must engage with people who are difficult, who are unkind, who don't even recognize when we're trying to be good to them. That doesn't mean we can get away with not loving them. We get to reach out to God's children, all of them, those who are easy to love, and those who we find annoying, and those who we utterly despise. The point is that before we can offer any service to God, before we can lay our gifts at the altar, we must be reconciled in our own hearts to all of our brothers and sisters. The first and most important requirement is to honor God's law of love. Of course, Moses was right. Choosing the path of God is choosing life. Choosing to free ourselves from the weight of anger, from the distraction of bearing a grudge, is the most straightforward way to open our hearts to God's love. Sure, it is difficult, and none of us gets it right all the time. Sorry. But we are assured that it is well worth the challenge. We cannot have the perfect love for one another that God has for us, but we can model ourselves after it. We can use God's demonstration of perfect, self-sacrificial love to guide and inspire us as we seek to love those we find most difficult and be reconciled to those at whom we are angry. So, if you are offering your gift at the altar of life and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar. Pause your life and go. Try to love them. Be reconciled to your brother or sister. Be not sidetracked by anger. Follow God's law of love so that you can better receive the love of God. Be reconciled that you may truly live. Pray with me. God, teach us to let go of our anger, to love one another, and to choose life by seeing you in every person we meet. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.